Welcome to Get Over It, the Consciousness Transforming Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. Got a question for you folks. Are you an empath? Do you go places and energy just bombards you and you don't know what to do? Well, this is your show. We're going to be speaking with Reverend Stephanie Redfeather, PhD, and we're going to be talking about her best-selling Amazon book, The Evolutionary Empath, A Practical Guide for Heart Centered Consciousness. This is going to be a great show, so get ready and hang on. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back, but you know, I always ask the question, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. A bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I am the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, The Men and Money Book, and Masterful Choices, The Key to Easy, Effective Change. Excuse me. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love. They heal the mind-body-spirit connection, again, allowing you to live your life to the fullest. Now, my clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, NessMoniqueChapman.com, and I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. My guest today, Reverend Stephanie Redfeather, PhD, is the founder and director of Blue Star Temple. An ordained shamanic minister, she holds a bachelor's degree in applied mathematics and a master's and doctorate degrees in shamanic studies from Venus Rising University. She is also a Mesa Carrier in the Pachacuti Mesa tradition of Peru, having studied with Don Oscar Miro Quesada and his lineage since 2005, and she'll correct me on the pronunciation of that. She lives near Kansas City, and you can check her out at her website, and that is bluestartemple.org. Blue Star Temple, all one word, .org. Welcome, Stephanie.
Thanks so much, Monique.
Hey, it's great to have you on. You know, I have an intuitive son, I have healers and whatever, but it's rare that I have an empath on, and even more rare that I've had an empath on who's written a best-selling book. How did you come to terms with the fact that you yourself was an empath?
It was not easy. It came along with my spiritual awakening. And so the short version of that story is I was an Air Force officer for 10 years. Uh-huh. And there's a little bit of a one of these things is not like the other because, you know, when I was young, I was a creative, intuitive child. I went to a performing arts school like the TV show Fame, and mm-hmm. then fast forward a few years, and I get a math degree and become an Air Force officer. So clearly, there were some interesting events that precipitated all of that. And mm-hmm. when, you know, so of course, and while all that's happening, I don't know that I'm an empath. And there was a little murmuring in my heart about 10 years in with the military that said, it's time to get out. You know, so it wasn't like, hey, I know what I want to do next. It's time to get out. It was, I think it's time to get out. Now what do I do? And so my financial advisor who was with, you know, I'd been with that company for 10 years. He said, well, uh-huh. Steph, you're really good with people. Have you thought about being a financial advisor? And I liken it to like the first time somebody of the opposite sex pays attention to you in grade school. Kind of like, oh, you're paying attention. Oh, you think, oh, you like me? Oh, okay, I'll like you back, you know? And so I'm like, oh, you think I'll be a good financial advisor? Okay, I'll do that. Because at that point, I had no clue how to listen to myself. So I put in the time, I invested the money, I thought that's what I was going to do for the next 5 or 10 or 15 years, and I quit in less than 6 months because I hated it, and I lost $25,000 because I didn't stay in long enough to, you know, earn back what I had put into it, and that is when my spiritual awakening began in earnest. And for me, it was about a five-year period of time that I have described as living 100 years, because I went through so much past life stuff and just intense purging. I call that period of time the spiritual crucible, because I feel like literally I was just getting cooked down and cooked down, you know, like metallurgy, where the metal is being burned and the impurities are, you know, the metal is being heated, the impurities are being burned off. And so, you know, I was just redefining everything. What does it mean to be a woman? What does it mean to be successful? What do I want? And in that period of time, from the start of it to the end of it, nothing in my life was the same. House I lived in, the city I lived in, my marriage, my job, my finances, my possessions. And when I finally stumbled out of the spiritual crucible, kind of, you know, like wiping my brow going, whew, all right, okay, now I didn't die, now what, you know? And I realized that I emerged from that period of time with perspective and wisdom and understanding. And so along with that came this recognition and acceptance of, I have these sensitivities, I'm not like other people, and that's okay, and I can accept those things, and I don't have to hide them and pretend that I'm something different, and I need to start developing the tools so that I can thrive in the world and not just kind of sit in the corner and suck my thumb and not participate in a lot of things that I want to, you know.
Okay. Well, it's great that you know, came to that realization for yourself. Now, everybody's familiar with the term, you know, empathy, but what truly is an empath?
It is, it definitely comes from the same base word. And, you know, the term empath has been around in, you know, different spiritual circles and consciousness circles for a number of decades. But you're right, not everybody's heard of it. It's starting to become more widespread. The sort of general everyday working definition of an empath is a highly sensitive person, but there's so much more to it than that. And when I sat down to write this book, my spirit guides gave me one directive, and that was create a definition. And so I actually spend two chapters in this book outlining the different qualities and aspects of being an empath. And if you like, I came up with five distinct qualities of an empath that I think would be really helpful for your listeners.
Well, that was interesting, because I have in my own handwritten notes that same thing that you just said. It's actually on page 71 in your book. So share.
Okay. Perfect. That was perfect. So, yeah. So, and, you know, I had been working with clients and offering workshops for a number of years, and had this long list of kind of common experiences that a lot of us have as empaths. And they started organizing themselves into like items. And it's from that list that I came up with these five qualities. So the first quality is our ability to merge with and absorb the energy of other beings. And that's not just people, that's animals, anything with life force. And it comes from having a very open personal energy field. And so the corollary to that is, while we're good at being compassionate and empathetic and understanding things from another person's point of view, if we're not conscious of it, this is the quality that can cause us to take on other people's emotions and problems and issues, feeling like we're responsible for those things, and it also causes us to struggle with boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
The second quality is a highly sensitive nervous system. And, you know, by definition, nervous systems are supposed to be sensitive, but it's kind of like we got a two-for-one deal. So we just got, like, extra sensitive nervous systems. And so it makes us prone to overwhelm and overstimulation. And again, if we're not careful of that, we can just feel completely depleted, completely overstimulated, frazzled, and it really requires extra vigilant self-care on our part.
Okay.
The third quality is that we have a great sensitivity to the energies around us and an ability to perceive or access subtle information stored in the energy field of all types of life forms. So what I mean by that is, you know, in the subtle realms, in the unseen realms, there's a great deal of communication happening. And so this is the quality that makes us predisposed to seeing angels or the dead or mm-hmm. accessing the Akashic records or being an animal communicator or having paranormal experiences or being, you know, having wicked intuition or premonitions or tuning into other people's just kind of knowing things, you know, about a person's mm-hmm. energetic or emotional state.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth quality is the premium that we place on peace and harmony, and that is in our relationships, in our environment, and our own energy field. And so, especially when we're unconscious of this, it means we tend to not rock the boat, we tend to be a people pleaser, we'll do anything to keep our environment and our relationships as stress-free, calm, and harmonious as possible. And the fifth and final quality is our big, open heart and a desire to serve others. And this tends to make us inclined towards careers focused in service. You know, like my mm-hmm. tribe, if you will, tends to be massage therapists and energy healers and nurses and hospice workers and therapists and that sort of thing. But, you know, I was in the Air Force for 10 years, so I know computer programmers and bankers and, you know, people mm-hmm. in mainstream jobs that are also empaths. If we're not careful about this quality, this can have us overgive, you mm-hmm. know, like deplete ourselves and put ourselves last on the list.
Mm.
So those are the five qualities of an empath.
Okay. Are most of us empaths?
Let me answer that this way. I believe that we are all born with that template. Mm-hmm. I believe that it's actually natural and normal for all of us to have these perceptions and sensitivities and abilities to communicate this way.
Uh-huh.
But there's several things that affect if that template is going to get activated in our life, you know, so choices we made at a soul level about our particular incarnation, free
uh-huh.
human will,
uh-huh.
You know, karmic patterns, just the things that we set up for us, kind of the nature versus nurture. It depends on the parents that we grew up with and the messaging that we internalized. So in terms of, quote, actual empaths, I would say that we are still a minority in the world, but we are growing exponentially.
Mm. Okay. Well, folks, we're speaking with Reverend Stephanie Redfeather, PhD. Her Amazon number one best-selling book is The Evolutionary Empath, A Practical Guide for Heart-Centered Consciousness. It's holiday time, folks. If you're going to get a gift and you've got that person that you're always saying, oh, you're just a little too sensitive, this is the book for them so that they can get the tools to embolden their boundaries, if you will, and move on with their life. And her website, you want to check it out, is bluestartemple.com. .org. Again, that's bluestartemple.org. Stephanie, you say that there's a conscious awareness about us. It's about the who, the what, the when, the where, and the why, and that we can't shift our energy. We can't even, you know, embolden ourselves against taking in so much energy unless we can define for ourselves these W's. Why is that so important?
Well, I think it's that way with any condition or behavior or aspect of our psyche. We cannot consciously engage with something if we don't even know it exists or if we won't acknowledge that it is there. And so, you know, we are unconscious empaths until we're conscious of it. And then when we're conscious of it, you know, oftentimes, you know, that happens through some kind of crisis where something happens and clearly what we have been doing up to that point is no longer working for us and we're looking for a new way, we're seeking healing, we're seeking understanding. And so the who, what, why, when, you know, that's when we start becoming conscious of, okay, I have these sensitivities, they're not going to go away. And, you know, like I did in my spiritual awakening, I was seeking information. I was seeking guidance. I was seeking explanations and understanding. And I wish I had this book 20 years ago because there was so very little about being an empath even 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so empowering, you know, once a person recognizes they're an empath, and I get it. Some people are like, I don't like labels, and that's cool. But sometimes it helps, at least in the beginning, to have a frame of reference, to recognize that this thing you are is an actual thing, that you're not crazy, that there's not something wrong with you, that you're not deficient.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In your book, you talk about humanity right now being in a cycle of ascension. Number one, talk to us about what ascension is. And then number two, the symptoms, both physical and mental. Then I've got a couple of follow-on questions after.
Yeah. So ascension is a term for humanity collectively raising in vibration, raising in our level of awareness. There are over 30 ancient cultures that have documented a grand cycle of time. I mean, a very vast cosmic cycle of time. It's called the Great Year. Mm-hmm. It is 24,000 years long. There are some that say it's 26,000 years. There's a reason for that difference. It's okay. Whatever model you subscribe to is fine. But roughly 24,000 years. And in this cycle, we are ascending in consciousness for 12,000 years and descending in consciousness for 12,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may be familiar with the Greek ages, the Iron Age, Bronze Age, Silver Age, Golden Age. Those are ways of breaking down that 24,000-year cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, one of the things that happens as we descend in consciousness is we lose knowledge. We start to question things we once knew. We doubt things. And so it's not like there's just this physical library that we can go to and look it up and track, quote, what year it is in the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we lose consciousness, we get threatened by that information and we burn things and people and, you know, destroy things that we once held sacred.
Mm-hmm.
However, no matter which ancient culture or reference you look at, they may not all agree exactly on when we turned the corner, but they pretty much all agree that we have turned that corner. So we are on the path of ascension. We are out of the Iron Age. We are a few hundred years into the Bronze Age. And so we are moving up, if you will, in our consciousness, in our awareness, in our understanding of subtle energies and subtle relationships.
Okay, well, let me ask a question. Mm-hmm. In between, first of all, you answered my two follow-on questions already, so thank you.
Okay.
But
and
this energy that you're talking about that we're swimming in right now, why is there so much violence? Why is there so much hate? I mean, the leaders of the countries around the world, including the orange man in the White House here, I mean, it's so much hate and divisiveness. How can we be on the path of moving forward, but at the same time have so much discord among us?
Yeah, that is an excellent question and kind of a lengthy answer, and I certainly don't have all of the answer. But what helps me, you know, what I understand, again, as we descend in consciousness, we lose our understanding of ourselves mm-hmm. as creator, as energy, as source. And so as we lose that understanding, we really begin to focus more on just the physical world. We lose our understanding or belief in things you can't see and feel and touch. And we sort of devolve into this place where you're different than me. I'm threatened by this thing that's not different. It's just a lower expression of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that helps me to recognize that we really, you know, despite current evidence, if you will, you know, any moment that you look online or in a newspaper on TV, you can find plenty of evidence that would tell you, that would make you question if we're actually evolving. But I think about the temperature moving from winter to spring. If we tracked the temperature each and every day, mm-hmm. it is not always warmer the next day than the day before. You know, right. So especially here in the Midwest, we might have a 60-degree day, and then it might drop down to 30, and we might have snow, and then it's up to 45, and then it's 37, and then it's 62. But if you graphed that out on a chart and mapped the progress, mm-hmm. the overall trend is that the temperature is getting warmer. Uh-huh. And so if you apply that model to the ascension of humanity, obviously temperature changes from day to day. So, if, you know, it may be that we have a year that's high and a year that's low, or a decade that's high and a decade that's low. But if you trend it, we are moving in that direction. There are enough people waking up, maintaining a higher frequency, that we've hit that that sort of critical mass, if you will.
Mm. Okay, so there's still hope for us, because it just seems when you look around the world that, you know, the powers that be, they're all about hate and destruction, and they're whipping the energy, if you will, up so that people in turn become all about hate and destruction, even down to, mm-hmm. you know, like hating your neighbor who you could have tolerated, you know, the last few years, and now all of a sudden it's like, no, there's no tolerance whatsoever. So it's really interesting, mm-hmm. in my opinion, how, you know, we're evolving and maybe devolving, but still moving forward. It's quite mm-hmm. interesting.
Yeah. And I have more thoughts on that if you're mm-hmm. interested.
Oh, please,
or
yeah.
I don't know if you need to move on.
Please.
You know, in shamanic terms, you know, we talk about death and rebirth. Mm-hmm. We work a lot with the shadow. I've done a lot of my own shadow work and a lot of study about the shadow aspect of individual psyche and collective psyche. And so mm-hmm. if you think about it in energetic terms, everything is just a particle vibrating at a rate of speed. So we all have a vibration, if you will, a particular frequency.
Right.
And in our lives, we tend to settle into patterns with other things and people that are harmonious with our frequency. Mm-hmm. When our frequency changes, however, so if we go through massive transformation, we, you know, go through kind of a psychic death and rebirth process, we go through whatever, spiritual awakening, we go through an illness, a near-death experience, you know, even an incredible workshop can mm-hmm. shift your vibration just in a few days. When your vibration changes, now everything that's in your world is not necessarily in harmony with your new frequency. There is dissonance. And so that means that there are some things that over time are going to get vibrated up to the surface mm-hmm. to be dealt with. Like, they're either going to find a new frequency and still be in relationship with you, or they're going to stay in dissonance, and they're going to sort of like opposite ends of a magnetic pole, you know, be, you know, shoved, pushed away or rebounded mm-hmm. away, because mm-hmm. they're no longer in harmony with your new frequency. And so when I, you know, honestly, when we elected Trump, I'm not a political person, but I said, we just elected our shadow. Our collective shadow, the things that we have been hiding, suppressing, denying in our collective consciousness are now getting vibrated up into the light of day to be looked at and dealt with and healed. And so while it feels like chaos, mm-hmm. that's actually progress.
Okay, I can definitely buy into that. But how do you work with, well, you don't literally work with, but what about the people who support this energy? And I understand, you know, light and dark and shadow and all of that, but how do you work, because I don't even think that you reach people who mm-hmm. tend to enjoy this energy. They support this energy. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's, I forget his name on TV, but he's one of the people in the House that on the Republican side, he's very vocal and very mean. And he's always talking about, you know, what they need to do and how Trump isn't being treated fair, but yet and still he's not fair. So how do we get around this?
I'm not sure I have the answer for that.
Just your opinion.
I mean, for me, I think what I would advise anyone is it has to start with your own personal choices. And so for me, I'm very deliberate about what I expose myself to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like I stopped watching the news years ago. My husband, however, likes that realm. He's been a reporter. He likes mm-hmm. history and politics, and he knows where to go to find, you know, the truth, if you will.
So
he's my news channel.
Okay.
You know, so I first of all make decisions about what I expose myself to, because if I expose myself to too much of it, I get physically ill. I get emotionally drained. Like, it doesn't serve me. It's like, if I want to know what's going on, I'll find out what's going on, but I don't need I don't need to expose myself to
mm-hmm.
lengthy, you know, mm-hmm. And I do the best I can to hold space
mm-hmm.
for those people, and just recognize that I chose to be here, you know, so it's like while I personally did not vote for Trump, I have to acknowledge that I chose to be here at this point in time, living in the United States, where
exactly.
collectively this was our agreement.
Uh-huh.
And so it's, you know, I'm still figuring out the tools to manage my way through it, because I, you know, my gifts don't lie in political activism and that sort of thing. So it's like, uh-huh. okay, what can I do so that I don't feel neutered, you
uh-huh.
know, and completely helpless, but still feel like I am contributing, you know, in a way that is meaningful to me.
Okay. So talk to us a bit about the physical and the emotional symptoms of ascension.
Mm-hmm. In a way, it could kind of be anything you're experiencing, because there is so much to it. But, you know, physical symptoms can be any kind of physical changes. It can be changes in your appetite or diet. There's a huge rise, if you will, in stomach and GI issues and inflammatory issues, intolerances uh-huh. to food. There's also just differences in what you can tolerate, you know, maybe temperature fluctuations in the body. It can be random illnesses or headaches. It can be pressure, you know, so as certain uh-huh. energetic centers in the body are turning on, you can have third eye pressure or sensations or crown chakra sensations. There can be increased sensitivity to sound, to light, to smell, to hearing things, you know, odd tones. There can be dizziness and joint pain and, you know, insomnia or other sleep disruptions. A lot of heart chakra stuff, so arrhythmias or, you know, any number of things. I can tell you that I've had multiple things on this list happen, and I always go get them checked out, and according mm-hmm. to physical Western medicine, there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
So in terms of more of the sort of energetic or emotional side, there can be an experience of more synchronicities, like seeing signs or interesting things like that, meaningful patterns. It can just be a general feeling of something's changing. It can be like an awakening, a grief for your old self, or a desire to discover your truth or dive deeper into who you are. Emotional sensitivity, changes in your experience of time speeding up or slowing down, confusion, fogginess, forgetfulness. A lot of people having psychic or extrasensory abilities getting turned on, intense dreams, all of a sudden intuition or premonitions about things. So that's just, you know, a small list.
Okay, but you shared
all the symptoms.
A lot, so thank you very much. Now, the second part of your book is all about tools to help an empath navigate Earth here, or life here on an earthly plane. Could you share a couple with us?
Yes, absolutely. If I'm going to work with somebody who is just recently discovered that they're an empath or have come to terms with their sensitivities, the first things I'm going to talk to them about are their energy clearing practice and boundaries. And while I talk about them separately in the book, you know, because you can't talk about everything at once, to me they're very interrelated. But by energy clearing, what I mean is recognizing that you are an energy being and starting to get in touch with and visualize your energetic edge, your boundary. So you can think of it as a ball or a cocoon or whatever visualization works for you. But to start recognizing and being responsible for what you allow in your field. So that can be other people's energies, other people's expectations, their emotions. It can just be, you know, like the dust that accumulates in our house. Dust is not malevolent. It's just an accumulation of skin cells and dander and, you know, carpet fibers and whatever else, but you still have to clean. So, you know, part of our daily energetic hygiene is just clearing ourselves of the daily detritus, if you will. And one of the simplest ways to do that is to use conscious, deliberate, deep breaths, using your exhale as like the flush knob, if you will, and releasing out of your field, down your body, out your feet, into Mother Earth, releasing the energies that aren't serving you. And there's so many more practices that I've included in the book, but that daily hygiene practice is so critical because it is already challenging for us to hear ourselves because we are so other-focused and tend to be people-pleasers and codependent and taking on everybody else's energy and emotions and not even knowing it. It takes practice to learn to distinguish where we end and the next person begins. And so it helps if we start imagining our energetic boundaries.
Yeah, I found that it works well if you, well, for me anyway, meditating, grounding, running your energy, and having a true sense of what you feel like. And then that way, if there's another energy that comes in, you can say, oh, well, that's not me, and you can decide whether you want to embrace it or, you know, send it away. And I truly hope that a lot of people can get to that point because, as you said, we're ascending and these energies are going to become, I think, more and more intense than they previously were. And it's a great time to be alive and it's a great time to be an empath. And you've definitely written, you know, a very extensive book on, you know, this subject and helping someone through the process of being so sensitive, but sensitive in a good word. I do want to ask you a question, though, about the sensitivity and being an empath. And this, and you may not have the answer to this, but please, your opinion. What about empaths and medication? You know, the medications that allopathic medicine are giving you today, you know, you see it on TV. Well, it'll cure A, but to cure A, you got to die three lives and come back, you know, and turn purple. Is it possible, in your opinion, for an empath to be so sensitive, if you will, that even medications upset them more than, say, a person who's not so empathetic?
Yeah, I mean, In our long list of sensitivities, sensitivity to medication is definitely a thing. I know some people who actually have opposite reactions in their body to whatever the medication is supposed to do. So like I said, everything is vibration. Everything has a frequency. And so that medication has a frequency. And I would just invite each individual person to make a choice. What's the trade-off? You know, I try very hard to use natural methods, to eat well, to have good self-care so that I don't need medication. I'm also very sensitive to how I feel on medication, and I think some people that aren't so sensitive may not, you know, it's just not going to register in their body. I'm taking this depression medication. Yeah, okay. You know, and I take a depression medication and I'm just, you know, like having this huge reaction and marking a definite shift in my perceptions and how I feel and all of this kind of stuff. So I don't eschew Western medicine, but I use it when I need it. Like, for example, I had a really bad sinus infection last month and had to go to the ER twice, and I'm like, thank God for good meds, because I was coughing up my toenails at that point, you know? And so that was the trade-off. I'm like, it is worth it. But that's, you know, the conscious question that we have to pose to ourselves with those medications.
Okay, well, another question. Talk to us about the power of saying no.
So as empaths, again, we tend to show up in the world with a very open energy field. And so that means usually we tend to suck at saying no and have no idea how to do that. And so saying no is one of the most important boundary drawing tools that an empath can wield. And it takes time and practice, especially if someone, you know, I'm a recovering people pleaser. So there are times when I still kind of go through, you know, my intestines liquefying when I think about having to disappoint somebody. But I have learned, you know, for me, one of the most important tools in developing that awareness is the pause. You know, like I used to be so influenced by other people's expectations. I could feel how much they wanted me to do this thing they were asking, or I could sense how much I was going to disappoint them if I said no, that I never gave myself the opportunity to say, let me get back to you. I need to think about this. Let me look at my calendar. You know, that moment of pause to kind of let that pressure dissipate a little bit and actually say something like, let me get back to you. I didn't even know I could do that in my earlier years. That may seem ridiculous. So being able to say no, sometimes no is a flat out no. Sometimes no is a no but, you know, like, no, I can't do what you're asking, but I could do this other thing instead. And then sometimes there's the yes, no. You know, it is okay to say no after you've said yes. You might have to eat a little crow.
Explain that to me.
So somebody asks you to do something or, you know, whatever it is, and you say yes. And then you go home that night and you're like, oh, I really don't want to do this, or I don't have time, or, you know, it's just, my schedule is just too full. So you go back to the person and say, okay, I realize I said yes to you. I thought about it. I really can't do it, and here's why, and I'm so sorry to disappoint you. And again, there may be an alternative that you can offer, or it may just be, I'm sorry, I can't do this thing. But it is okay. It's just not always going to feel good, you know, and you have to prepare for the other person's disappointment or frustration. But you can say no after you say yes.
Okay, so folks, be yourself, you know. And if somebody asks you something and it doesn't feel right or you don't want to do it, just say no. It's okay. Okay. Truly, it's just okay. Life goes on. Life does go on. So, Stephanie, when we go to bluestartemple.org, what are we going to find there?
Yes. Well, my offerings to the world, if you will, I really feel like my products and services are where Spirit is leading me to share myself with the world. So I have a lot of things in development in my head, but what you're going to see online, I have a video home study course, The Art and Practice of Energetic Clearing. So it's all about what we were talking about in terms of clearing your energy field, mm-hmm. as well as how to clear spaces and sacred objects. I have a bunch of guided meditations for people. I have an embodiment workbook that should be coming out this week. I have, obviously, The Evolutionary Empath is there. And then there's another book that I contributed a chapter to. It's a multi-author book of change stories. So it's a place where empaths can come and find the tools and knowledge and understanding they need to help themselves. I have workshops. I'm currently taking a hiatus from doing one-on-one client work because I'm going back, sort of doing some internal work, restructuring my business model, getting clear uh-huh. about how I can best serve the world. So in the beginning of 2020, I will be coming back out with what my offerings will be for working with clients as well. So it's products, okay. working with clients, workshops, all those kinds of things, speaking engagements.
Okay.
Yeah.
Folks, look for her in your area. You know, Stephanie, our time is almost up, and I truly appreciate you being with me today. What pearl of wisdom would you like to leave with our audience?
Just know that you are here on purpose. One of the things that we didn't get a chance to talk about that is really a big piece of the book in terms of setting the context for empath is that I believe we are here to help humanity ascend to the next level of consciousness, that we are here on purpose because it's time, that we show up within a refined set of sensitivities with a slightly different energetic physiology, that we are the new human blueprint. And so if you're a sensitive soul, you didn't make a mistake. You're not crazy. There's not something wrong with you. You are here on purpose. And you have this beautiful cosmic mission to help the collective vibration raise. And I just want to say, don't let that make you feel like there's a lot of pressure, because I have gotten that feedback like, oh my God, that's a lot of pressure, I don't know. And it's like, no, just be who you are where you mm-hmm. are. It's your consciousness about the matter that matters.
Yeah, and be willing to grow, you know, or mm-hmm. at least explore something different. It would be mm-hmm. okay. Well, folks, Stephanie's book is The Evolutionary Empath, A Practical Guide for Heart-Centered Consciousness. She has many, many stories in the book that will help you understand the concepts that she's talking about, although the concepts are very clear and plain. And actually, the first chapter in her book is You're Not Crazy, right? Is that
mm-hmm.
the first
You
chapter?
Are Not Crazy.
Yeah. And so it puts in very clear perspective, you know, what you're going through and how you can help yourself. And then perhaps you might have an empath friend that you can either share the information with, or better yet, go buy the book and gift it to them so that we can all, you know, rise. Because as Stephanie has said, Earth is rising, we're rising, and it's time to, you know, make that shift. So, Stephanie, thank you very much for being with me today. And to the audience, I thank you as we collectively get over it. The divine in me honors the divine in you. When you're ready to raise your vibration and shift your energy, you can give me a call. Intuitive consultations, 30 minutes or longer, are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself. The number, 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of managing your empathic energy. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.